I've got a special interview with a man God is using around the world in Jewish ministry.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, friends, to our Thoroughly Jewish Thursday broadcast. This is Michael Brown. Delighted to be with you. Here's the number to call any of your Jewish-related questions, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Any Jewish-related question of any kind, phone lines are open. Our joy to take your calls. Also, I did a dialogue. It was billed as a debate, but it was really a dialogue with Adam Green about Noahide laws last night. A lot of folks were watching it live on YouTube. If you happen to watch and want to weigh in, if you're one of those that agreed with Adam and differed with me, by all means, give me a call. And I did talk about the level of Jew hatred among his viewers. And Adam felt, yeah, there's some out there, but basically they're people that are just kind of fed up with wrong things Jews do. I just want to give you a sampling of some of the comments that came in response to our dialogue. Again, 866-34-TRUTH. I have the privilege of sitting here today with a dear friend of many years. I've watched God use him mightily around the world. John Burness, who is the director of Jewish Voice Ministries International. You've seen Jewish Voice broadcast on TV all around the world. And John has an amazing story. He's a member of our board of Ask Dr. Brown, so he's in town for a board meeting today. So we said, well, obviously, you got to stick around and be part of our radio show. So John's here. I'm going to talk about his testimony, talk about things God's done in his life, what he's seeing, some amazing stuff, and then take some of your Jewish-related calls. And I'm going to share one thing that really blows the lid off a lot of the Noahide conspiracy law theory. All right. John, welcome to The Line of Fire. Great to have you with us today.
Good to be here with you.
All right, so Jonathan, your testimony, when you came to faith, you were a drug dealer. Were you a drug dealer for any particular person, organization, group, anything like that?
Well, you're really bringing up my ancient past. I don't talk about this very much. I'm glad I didn't ask my wife and kids to listen to the program. So I think you're getting what you want me to share is that I had a close relationship with the Grateful Dead, which many of you remember. I hear they're actually touring again without their lead guitarist, Jerry Garcia. So I was involved in the whole Grateful Dead scene and not actually dealing to them, but some of their inner network were the connection for getting the drugs. And I had a lot of experiences on drugs hanging out with the members of the band.
Got it. And you heard a voice speaking to you, a heavenly voice that spoke to you before you were actually even born again. I guess people were praying for you. What happened? What did the voice say?
Well, I actually, I'll give you... You're bringing up past sins of all under the blood. But I actually had an experience with the Lord during this whole Grateful Dead drug dealing time and walked away from everything to serve the Lord. And then over the following months, got pulled back into this whole scene. I learned, Mike, that you can't have a relationship with the Lord and still live with drug dealers. It just doesn't work. And it was shortly after I went back into the Grateful Dead as a brand new baby believer that I was standing on the sound on the platform for the soundboard in a Grateful Dead concert, and I heard a voice in the midst of this music and all of this craziness. A voice told me that I had a higher calling, and I heard the Lord not speak to me, but to Satan or the principalities and powers over this whole psychedelic scene, and said, you have to release him. One that is higher has called him. This whether it was an angel or the Lord himself. And it was shortly after that that I made a complete break from all this and committed my life fully to serve the Lord.
Do you know if people were praying for you at that time?
No doubt people were praying for me. By name, I ended up at a Bible study because a girlfriend who received the Lord just a few months earlier had her whole Bible study and her new church members praying for her Jewish friend Jonathan by name.
Mm.
So absolutely, I believe in the power of prayer, and I would not be here today if it wasn't for the prayers and intercession of people that I grew to know and love but had never met before then.
All right, and then after a number of years, God called you to lead a Messianic congregation in upstate New York. I remember speaking there for you many, many years ago, and the Lord really moved. Many lives were touched. And then you got an unusual calling, and it took you overseas with one of the more pronounced harvests in the history of Jewish ministry. What happened?
Yeah, it was an amazing time in history. In 1990, I took a small group to the Soviet Union. It was still the Soviet Union at the time. I was touched by a movie by a guy named Jay Rawlings called Gates of Brass that chronicled the lives of a few Jewish people that had lost their jobs, their homes, because they wanted to learn Hebrew. They wanted to identify with their Jewish heritage, which was taboo in the Soviet Union at the time. And the amazing experience that I had in 6 days was I led more Jewish people to faith than I had in 6 years of Jewish ministry up until that time. And in 1992, I was coming back from a trip coming home from Belarus, and I was reading Matthew chapter 24, verse 14, which I think is one of the clearest statements in the Bible concerning the last days. Jesus said that the gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed in every nation, and then the end will come. And I started to have a dialogue with the Holy Spirit, and I this conversation in my head that the word nation is not speaking about countries or geopolitical boundaries, but talking about people, ethnos, and with the understanding then that the gospel is to the Jew first. And I heard the Lord say to me, I want you to go back to Russia and reach my people being the Jewish people, of course. And that led to this extraordinary adventure. I actually resigned after 9 years of pastoring in upstate New York, Rochester, New York, and I moved to St. Petersburg, Russia. And we conducted a music festival. By faith, I rented a 4,000-seat hall. Mike, I had no idea if anyone would show up, but we ended up packing the place. 13,000 people came over 3 nights. Mm. Standing room only. We had to turn hundreds, if not thousands, of people away. And that led to traveling all over the former Soviet Union, renting concert halls and eventually football stadiums filled with Jewish people that heard the gospel. I had an opportunity in the midst of these music and dance festivals, Jewish people coming to connect with their culture that they weren't allowed to connect with before then, and knowing that they were going to hear about Jesus. And the miracle during that time was that Jewish people did not have this preconceived idea that you can't believe in Jesus as a Jew. And I had the opportunity to share my testimony, and I saw literally, no exaggeration, tens of thousands of Jewish people respond in altar calls, many with tears streaming down their faces, praying with me to receive Jesus as their Messiah.
And then there was follow-up with congregations planted, leaders raised up. So it wasn't just a massive harvest, but then fruit that was born with congregations planted, many of those people subsequently making aliyah to Israel. So what did you see with your subsequent trips going back and seeing lasting fruit? What can you say honestly has happened? Yes, the amazing packing stadiums, people coming. I remember looking at some of the pictures, just stunned, as we were all stunned at what God was doing, this unique moment where these Jewish people had been so brought up in such a vacuum. They didn't know they shouldn't believe in Jesus as Jews. No one had really told them that. So they were kind of blank slates ready to hear the message.
Exactly.
What did you see happen in terms of lasting fruit, congregations planted, people making their way to Israel afterwards?
Well, first of all, I meet people in Israel all the time that come up to me and say, I was at your festival in 1995 in Moscow or 97 in Odessa or whatever. And they're walking with the Lord. They're serving in congregations. Some have actually moved to Israel and started Messianic congregations or outreaches for drug addicts or single mothers. It's been incredible. Next week, I'll be in Ukraine for Messianic Leaders Retreat in Kiev. The congregation in Kiev that was planted in 1994 through one of these music festivals now is the largest Messianic Jewish congregation in the world. They have about 1,400 active members, and about two-thirds of them are from a Jewish background. So it's taken root. There's dozens of congregations in the former Soviet Union now. They're one of the places on the in the world where they're having effective outreach. Jewish people are getting saved weekly. You know, there's a misconception that Jews are totally adverse to the gospel. They're not open to hearing about Jesus. It's just not true. Maybe harder in America with the baby boomer generation, but in places like Ukraine, and we're seeing in the rest of Eastern Europe and in Africa, there's places where there's Jewish people wide open to the gospel. And so it's really taken root. Dozens of congregations, leadership is being raised up regularly, and they're making a tremendous impact, not just in the former Soviet Union, but in Israel and other nations now.
And it was just, it was one of those divine moments, right? A unique door was opened at a unique moment in history. Even God provided funding supernaturally for you during that season.
Totally.
Didn't he?
Totally. I got a call from someone that I had never met. I was down to the wire, Mike. It was about a month before we were going to conduct this first outreach. We owed about $80,000 in expenses. I think I had $15,000 or $16,000 raised. I got a call in the midst of praying and fasting because I was between a rock and a hard place, which is not a bad place to be sometimes. You have to depend on the Lord.
Been there.
And I got this call from somebody I'd never met saying, someone gave me your name. I just started a foundation. What are you doing to reach Jewish people? And he ended up paying for all the remaining bills and then took us into the following years when we rented football stadiums.
Amazing. Friends, that just tells you when you have the heart and mind of God, when he calls you to do something, he gives you the burden, he gives you the vision, he'll back it, he'll make a way. A unique season of harvest. And here, God was looking for someone. Laid his hand on John. You mentioned Africa, Jews in Africa. What's that about? We'll talk about that more and take your calls. 866-348-7884.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, that music tells you it is Thoroughly Jewish Thursday, which reminds me to tell you that we still have room for our Israel tour May 2020. It is a trip of a lifetime, and we combine the best of a tour with the best of ministry in the land. We spend every night together, Bible study, Q&A, sitting in on my radio show, interacting face-to-face, plus amazing tour by day. You don't want to miss it. May 2020, we're only bringing two buses. That's like 100 people. It's really a special, intimate time. We get great time together. I'll have meals with you. We'll get to hang out and interact. One bus fill, we're filling the second bus. So go to askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org. You'll see it right on the homepage. Before I get back to my guest, Jonathan Bernis, and talk about his journey in the Lord, last night I was on Adam Green's KNOW, No More News internet channel, talking about Noahide laws, Zionist issues, and things like that. And Adam was as fair as could be, courteous, gracious, allowed me to talk freely. We put our disagreements on the table. So I couldn't ask for a more fair host than Adam. And from day one, when he heard what I was saying about Noahide laws, and he had very different views from day one, he knows that we reached out to him to have him on my show or me go on his. So he said that publicly here from day one he was going to, then he hesitated, etc. So we, it was candid, it was good. We just posted it. If you missed it, it's on the Ask Dr. Brown channel, AskDR Brown, on YouTube. One of the things that I said to him was what he's putting out is provoking a lot of Jew hatred. So he took issue with that. He said, of course, yeah, there's some bad comments that come in here and there. And we were saying, really, it's a flood of ugly anti-Semitic comments that come in. And it's in response to someone's being shared. So I asked my assistant, Dylan, to just run through the comments, not in the live chat, because that's tons and tons, right? But just to